many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Modernity has left many with the false impression that the virgin birth is nothing more than ancient superstition. In an op-ed piece published by the New York Times, columnist Nicholas Kristof used the virgin birth of Jesus to shamelessly promote the Enlightenment's false dichotomy between faith and reason. In his words, "The faith and the virgin birth reflects the way American Christianity is becoming less intellectual and more mystical over time." Kristof ends his piece with the following patronizing comment: "The heart is a wonderful organ, but so is the brain. Those who have a truly open mind, however, should resist rejecting the virgin birth a priori or prior to examination. First, miracles are not only possible, but they are necessary in order to make sense of the universe in which we live. According to modern science, the universe not only had a beginning, but it is unfathomably fine-tuned to support life. Not only so, but the origin of life, information in the genetic code, irreducible complexity of biological systems, and the phenomenon of the human mind pose intractable difficulties for merely natural explanations. Thus, reason forces us to look beyond the natural world to a supernatural designer who periodically intervenes in the affairs of his created handiwork. In other words, if we are willing to believe that God created the heavens and the earth, we should have no problem whatsoever accepting the virgin birth. Furthermore, we are compelled by reason and evidence to acknowledge that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. The miraculous preservation of God's word via manuscripts, archaeology, and prophecy together provide a cumulative case for the reliability of the Bible. Thus, we may legitimately appeal to the word of God as supernatural evidence for the virgin birth. Moreover, Christ, who demonstrated that he was God in human flesh through the supernatural fact of his resurrection, pronounced the scriptures infallible. And if Christ concurs with the biblical record of his virgin birth, no one should have the temerity to contradict his claim. Finally, while it is currently popular to suggest that the gospel writers borrowed the virgin birth motif from pagan mythology, the facts say otherwise. Stories of gods having sexual intercourse with women, such as the sun god Apollo becoming a snake and impregnating the mother of Augustus Caesar, hardly parallel the virgin birth account. What is more, given the strict monotheistic worldview of New Testament authors, it should stretch credulity beyond the breaking point to suppose that they borrowed from pagan mythologies, especially mis-extolling the sexual exploits of pagan gods. As we encounter those who capriciously cast aspersions on the miraculous nature of the virgin birth, we would do well to remember that it's our responsibility to use our well-reasoned responses as springboards for demonstrating that the historical account of Christ's coming in flesh is faith founded on a refutable fact.
From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And joining me in studio, Elliot Miller. He's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. We're going to tag team answering your questions right here today on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And as we go to the callers, I want to remind all of you that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we simply cannot do what we do. Elliot and I were just talking off air about the fruit of this ministry that continues to bear abiding, abundant fruit by God's grace. It's not only in the sense that people are being saved, which is glorious in and of itself, but people are being equipped to be reproducing disciple makers. And when I think about that, I think about this illustration. Imagine that there were only 12 committed Christians alive today on planet Earth. And imagine further that each one of them committed to lead one person to faith in Christ, to disciple that person, so that person could in turn become a reproducing disciple maker. In 1 year, we would have 24 believers. The following year, we had 48 believers. And if you extrapolate that out, in less than 30 years, we would reach every single person on the planet. And if in the same time frame the population doubled, it would only take one additional year. That's the power of spiritual multiplication. That's why we say we are, as a ministry, committed to building reproducing disciple makers. And Elliot, you have seen the fruit of that ministry where people are invigorated, intoxicated, begin to have a passion for sharing their faith, and as a result of that, become faithful and fruitful in the vineyard.
As a matter of fact, Hanky, I just shared this with you for the first time. I don't know why it's taken me so long to tell you about my good friend Brad in Jupiter, Florida. But he was just living three doors down from us and started coming to a small group meeting that we were involved with. And Brad testified that he used to attend Benny Hinn's church in Orlando. And he started listening to the Bible Answer Man. He started checking out what you were saying. And it opened up his eyes to sound orthodox theology, taking the Bible in context versus taking it out of context. He developed a passion for orthodoxy and a passion to reach people in error. And he began a ministry to Jehovah's Witnesses. And, you know, I've been dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses for 38 years, and yet I will take a backseat to Brad if a Jehovah's Witness comes in the door, because he has got so much wisdom and ability to communicate, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ to Jehovah's Witnesses. So he's a fruit-bearing apologist. He also goes with me to the Socrates Cafe in West Palm Beach, and we witness and share our faith with the atheists and agnostics and New Agers and everybody else there. And he does such a fine job of that. He's so grounded in Christian theology, and he's gone on to study philosophy and all kinds of areas and then apply biblical truth to that. And he does it in a gracious manner, a winsome manner. And so this is just one, somebody I stumbled across, you know, three doors down from me, whose life had been impacted by this ministry.
And that is one more reason to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can do that this Christmas season by contacting us on the World Wide Web at equip.org, where you can give in a safe, secure fashion. And all this month for your gift, we will love to send you the heart of Christmas, so that you can start a Christmas tradition where you not only think about the one day, but you begin a tradition where you can prepare your heart for Christmas, and just as so many people are preparing their stores for Christmas or preparing their homes for Christmas, you can prepare your heart for Christmas and be an ever more valiant and effective witness in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Again, you can support the ministry on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Let's go right to the phone callers. First up today, Gene, listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, Gene.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I have a question about Muslims. Now, I'm a Christian. I just want to put that on the table. But how is it that Muslims experience blessings if Allah is a false god?
Well, you know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, doesn't it? So God gives blessings to all people. He blesses those that follow him, and he blesses those that do not follow him. In fact, even in the life to come, he does not rub out the crowning jewels of his creation, even if they want to live a life apart from he continues to sustain them in existence, albeit apart from his goodness and his grace and his glory, which is a torment that is unthinkable. But God continues to bless people because we are created not as reproductions of himself, but those who reflect his glories. We have love, and we have volition. We have what are called the communicable attributes of God. We reflect them in our nature. So God blesses us with rain, whether we're just or unjust. But unless we want a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do not find the fulfillment, the meaning, and the purpose that our lives are designed to have. The moment we enter into a relationship with the one who not only created us, but redeemed us by his grace, we begin to find the fulfillment of our lives every single day. It doesn't mean that our lives are not sometimes difficult. It means that we will find enduring peace in the midst of the storm. And that peace the unbeliever doesn't have.
There are consequences to actions, but there is not perfect justice in this world. That's why one of the great themes of Scripture is that there is a judgment coming in which justice will be meted out. And I think of the psalmist who says, why do the ungodly prosper? Why do the wicked prosper? And he says, then I considered their end. Okay, so you know the reality is that there are injustices, and there are people who, even blaspheming God, who seem to be prospering, and then there are the righteous, who seem they can't catch a break, you know. And so it's a consistent biblical theme. You can't judge the justice of the universe on a moment by moment, you know, score card. It's in the end, you're going to see perfect justice meted out.
Hitler does not simply die in the comforting arms of his mistress with no eternal consequences. The ancients knew better than to think such a thing. In the end, God will put all things to right as the righteous judge of the universe. And therefore, the goal is not to live a long, robust life with no pain and abundant pleasure. The goal is to have a relationship with the maker of the universe. Even if you die young, you're going to spend an eternity with the one who saved you by his grace. And I think that if we ever get a hold of what resurrection means, the fact that we are going to live immortal, imperishable, incorruptible in a new heaven and a new earth, we would live our lives with power and passion, laying up for ourselves not treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but we will lay up treasures for eternity. Do remember that this broadcast is made possible by listeners just like you. When I was doing the broadcast almost 12 months ago, we had a mountain of debt. It seemed insurmountable, but God gave us His grace. And many people, some giving large amounts, others small amounts, stood together. And we have just about eliminated that mountain of debt of $2.9 million of accumulated operational debt. We only have $475,000 to go. It seems like a mountain, but compared to the mountain that's already been scaled, it seems maybe more appropriate to call it a molehill. In God's economy, it is nothing. With many people standing together, we will not only be able to circumnavigate the mountain, but we will be able to seize the opportunities in the year 2011. You can make that possible whether you give a large gift or a small gift. Please stand with us prayerfully and financially. Give as God has given you His grace, not to give to us, but through us, to reach the lives of people for time and for eternity. You can make your gift today by logging onto the World Wide Web at equip.org, giving in a safe, secure fashion there, by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and as always, by talking to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We'll be right back with your questions.
Probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for faith and ethics. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian should be without. Be prepared with the knowledge you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will be right back. Christmas is the tremendous news that little baby Jesus came as God in flesh. Hank Hanegraaff has penned a hardbound devotional taking the truths of the Christmas story and turning them into traditions. In the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Each devotion is beautifully presented and complemented with an appropriate Christmas carol and thought-provoking questions. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 daily devotions that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. Order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas carols on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas carol CD, or quantity discount options to give as gifts to your loved ones and friends. That's equip.org. Is there scientific evidence for intelligent design? Are scientists being silenced for advocating it? Those questions and more are explored in the provocative documentary movie Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, starring actor and writer Ben Stein.
91% of Americans believe that we were created by God, yet that belief has been completely shut out of any scientific discussion of the origins of life in schools. But new science is showing astounding evidence of a designer, and that science needs to be seen and heard.
Expelled exposes the modern-day witch hunt in which scientists and teachers are persecuted for questioning the theory of evolution. Stein confronts the world's leading atheists and Darwinists and uncovers their hidden agenda to suppress the new science that points to evidence of a creator. Expelled. Order Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, featuring Ben Stein on DVD from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274, or go to www.equip.org.
That's equip.org. Here at the Christian Research Institute, we're celebrating our 50th year of ministry. Because of God's provision through His people, we have proclaimed it our year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25:10 says, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you." Although we're living in financially difficult times, God has been faithful for 50 years, and we continue to place our trust in Him, realizing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. If you've been blessed by the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, will you please consider a special year-end gift so that we can not only meet our budget by December 31st, but also expand our outreach in the coming year? To send your gift today, just call 888-7000-CRI or log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Hey, Rich. Randy in studio with Elliot Miller. He's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. I do want to mention before we go to our next caller that Elliot Miller is very excited about the Christian Research Journal. He's been involved as editor-in-chief for many years. And along with your host, he is praying that many of you will continue not only to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, but let others know about a resource that is literally life transformational.
Absolutely. The Christian Research Journal, I think I can say this with objectivity, even though I've been the editor-in-chief since 1980. So it's hard to be objective, but I think I'm capable of that. I can be objective about this. It just gets better all the time. And, you know, I don't take that much credit. Other staff people are very involved in helping to organize what topics we're going to be dealing with and articles. Melanie Cogdill, the managing editor, has taken a very active role. And so I guess that's why I can be a little objective about this, is I'm not nearly as involved as I once was in selecting all the topics that go into the magazine and the authors that we use. And we just, like this latest issue, Hank, the cover story, I have been wanting to see a Christian treatment of something that has become so commonplace in our culture, and that's plastic surgery. And, you know, here we have an article by a Christian medical doctor who's been involved in that field, which is so balanced. He has an understanding of ethics. He has deep understanding of scripture, has an understanding of the field. And he doesn't just take a black or white kind of approach to it. It's nuanced. He looks at legitimate reasons for it. He also looks at issues that need to be weighed. It's the kind of thing that if you're trying to make a decision about whether you would want to do this or you're wanting to advise someone else about it, that this gives you real concrete issues to consider in that kind of a matter. And it just goes on. We have an article on Margaret Sanger, the woman responsible for Planned Parenthood and the birth control pill, showing her role in our culture and what her commitment, you know, to basically an ungodly view of sexuality. And it was very well formulated in her mind where she was coming from. It was not a Christian place, and so she supported
eugenics.
Yeah, eugenics, and it's pretty eye-opening. But yet again, a balanced treatment. The author does not just go after her, you know, with a cleaver, but it recognizes the reasons why secularists highly esteem her, that she seemed to be someone devoted to helping poor women, and she seemed to be trying to provide an alternative to abortion. And he doesn't gloss over these things that may sound favorable, but he presents the whole picture. And that's the kind of objectivity that we need, is to see the whole picture. You know, we have a feature article in here on environmentalism. Should Christians be environmentalists? And this article stays away from politics and simply looks at the whole biblical issue. do Christians have a responsibility toward creation, and deals with it from that standpoint. You can decide the politics for yourself, but that's a biblical issue.
I think the bottom line with all of this, Elliot, is that with the Christian Research Journal, you have information that you can trust. It's carefully researched.
Yes.
And we live in an age of information overload where you can get on websites. You don't know whether what you are ingesting really corresponds to reality. We are a ministry committed to truth. We do what we do because truth matters. And therefore, you can trust that what we offer through our website, through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, through our magazines, through our various outreaches, is that which corresponds to reality, which, of course, is a working definition of truth.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things is that these articles not only appear in the Christian Research Journal, but then they become available on a permanent basis through equip.org, our website. And so they're reaching people, you know, across the country, across the world, which is why it's so important to stand behind CRI, because we're putting out the resources that people need to think through issues and to have Christian answers to different issues that are coming up in society.
Right now, when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, we'll send you the next 6 issues of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Jeremiah listening on KELP in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Jeremiah.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
I really have 2 questions. They really have nothing to do with each other, but if I could just throw them out there really quickly.
Sure.
The dinosaur thing existing alongside man, I've heard different theories on it. And I've heard a lot of preachers say that, you know, they were extinct before Adam came. But wouldn't that put death before the fall of man? Another thing, I've been doing, since I have a friend, he's been kind of getting into the masonry thing. It has kind of sparked an interest in me, and I started to research a lot of it. And a lot of it is extremely occultic, the rituals that are performed by some of these masons and stuff. And how are we supposed to take politicians that are high degree masonries but profess to be Christians? How are we supposed to act towards that? And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we want to be witnesses in those circumstances. A lot of people somehow or other think that Freemasonry is compatible with Christianity. It simply is not compatible with Christianity, but there are those who do not fully understand what Christianity represents. On the other hand, there are those who do not fully understand what Freemasonry in all of its degrees represent. And so I think as an informed, committed Christian, this is an opportunity, again, to use the truth as a springboard or an opportunity to communicate what salvation is. You cannot come to your gods regardless of your books that you think are authorities. There's only one God. There's only one authority. It is the Bible. And there's only one mediator between God and man. It is the man, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
So this is an opportunity to be a witness. It is to recognize that there are a lot of people out there whose view has been clouded as to what reality is. This gives you an opportunity as a Christian to be equipped, to be light. I've often said, look, the real problem is not pagans. They're exercising their job description, whatever format you might find them in. The real problem is that Christians are not exercising their job description to be salt and light. If we were, we would transform the culture. As it is, we are being transformed by the culture, and as a result, we're microcosms of the culture as opposed to change agents in the culture.
Absolutely, yes.
Great. All right. Yeah, I really appreciate your perspective on that.
As far as the dinosaurs are concerned, let me say this. This is a debate within the body of Christ. There are those that believe that on the 6th day, God created dinosaurs at the same time as man. And so they look in the Bible at passages like Job 40, Job 41, Behemoth and Leviathan, examples of dinosaurs. There are others that say, no, on the 6th day age, God created man and the animals, but dinosaurs were created many millions of years before the advent of the creation of man, because animals were created before man, and therefore they were extinct before the time of man. Therefore, yom, the Hebrew word for day, preceded by a numeral, can mean a long period of time as opposed to a 24-hour period of time. That's a ongoing debate within the body of Christ. I wouldn't say it's an insignificant debate. I think it's one that you can weigh in on and become adept at reasoning with regards to, but it should never become an acid test for orthodoxy.
Yeah, and I would just simply ask, where does Scripture say that there was no death prior to Adam and Eve sinning? Paul writes in Romans 8, in verse 20, the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now, this is a really profound passage. I want to relate it for you to Genesis chapters 1 and 2, because I think what this verse is telling us is that even though there would be suffering involved, that God did subject the creation to a bondage to decay, which is, I believe, the second law of thermodynamics, that all things are tending toward heat death, toward loss, toward entropy, because until the sin issue was dealt with the human race, you don't want to have immortality in the context of sin. And so it's very significant that the tree of life was something that was kept from Adam after he sinned. I believe that that would have conferred immortality on him. He did not have it. He needed to go through the test of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If he would have passed that test, then he could have partaken of the tree of life, and the whole creation would have entered into what Paul's talking about right here in Romans chapter 8, the glorious liberty, once the children of God are revealed. But the children of God were not revealed then because they sinned, and so the creation continues to wait for that glorious day when Christ returns and abolishes the second law of thermodynamics, which is the root of all decay and death in the universe, transforms a creation into an immortal creation, but that will only happen when sin cannot enter into it. So God subjected the creation to decay, to death, until the sin issue could be dealt with.
I got what you're saying. Yeah. Referring to that, that we were just talking about, well, it's kind of like a side kind of thought that I was having because of that. When Lucifer fell from heaven, he obviously experienced spiritual death then, because he was apart from the Father. So then death, there would be that kind of death already in the
But this is not physical death, and it's not in the physical creation. When Lucifer sinned, it didn't have
spiritual.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with what I was talking about, which is physical decay. Okay, so, you know, if we hadn't listened to him, death would not have entered into this creation.
And a quick reminder that when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, where you give every single month faithfully, I would like to send you the next 6 editions of the Christian Research Journal as my way of saying thank you. So if you can join right now as a monthly Bible Answer Man support team member, go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and join the monthly giving team online again at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and let me know that you want to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. And again, we will respond by sending the next 6 editions of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you. You can also talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 in the letters CRI.
When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Looking for books and materials you hear about on the broadcast? Check out our convenient e-store. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter, or read Hank's blog.
You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcasts. All this and more when you go to equip.org. But don't touch that dial. Hank will be right back after this short break.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The number of patients seeking plastic surgery has skyrocketed in the past decade. In his article titled Self-Esteem from a Scalpel, The Ethics of Plastic Surgery, Richard J. Poupard explains how we can discern when it is appropriate to seek the aid of plastic surgery. The new atheists call God's commands to kill the Canaanites genocide. Yet a closer look at the horror of the Canaanites' sinfulness reveals that God's reason for commanding their death was not genocide, but capital punishment, as described by Clay Jones. Other articles include Should Christians Be Environmentalist? The Negative Effects of Margaret Sanger, Television as the New Literature, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, an ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options. Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. For your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Art, listening on XM170 in Sacramento, California. Hi, Art.
Hi, Merry Christmas. God bless you, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I deeply appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Merry Christmas to you.
I've been listening to your show, and I just cannot tell you how profoundly impactful it was for me to hear you say that Christians are not living up to their job description and we're being marginalized as a subculture. If you'll bear with me for a minute, I'll give you a little context about my comments. I'm a divorced father of a 7-year-old daughter. The divorce is probably the worst thing that's happened to me in the last 3 years. It's been 3 years of utter tribulation. And without God dragging me through by my suspenders, I would not have made it through for the sake of my daughter. and it strengthened my relationship with God. I guess my question is a little bit rhetorical. You know, we're all wrapped up in this discussion about homosexuals, but, you know, in actuality, Jesus, the embodiment of flesh, of God in the flesh on earth, through the vastness of our universe, comes here to talk to us. He doesn't say anything about homosexuality, but he talks about divorce more than 40 times. And I'm a little bit perplexed as to why we have distanced ourselves from that topic. I mean, it is the most socially destructive force in our country today, and we seem to turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah, I think this is a classic example, Art, of where we have taken on the barnacles of the culture. And so often in Christian marriages, very much like marriages in the culture, we think love is a feeling. Don't understand that biblically love is not a feeling, love is a commitment. Feelings ebb and flow. But the commitment as a Christian is foundational to the marriage. Therefore, it's not about making me happy, it's about making me holy. It is about, as a Christian man, saying, I have made a commitment to a woman and to a family to love and cherish and honor until death do us part. And if we recognize that love is a commitment as opposed to buying the Hollywood lie that it's a feeling, then we don't run out of marriages and look for the grass that we think is greener on the other side of the fence that so often we find is actually dead. It only looks as though it is greener. Instead, we bear the fruit of a marriage, recognizing that in marriage, you know, two people aren't going to be identical. If two people were identical, one of them would be unnecessary. God puts
Absolutely.
People together that are not identical, and we rub the rough edges off one another, but we don't want to go through that pruning, that roughing up process, and so we leave and we look for a panacea, but there is no such thing. So again, it is a great example of Christians becoming microcosms of the culture as opposed to change agents in the culture.
Yeah, Art, I agree with you. I think you're right on. You know, not to any way diminish the importance of a biblical position on homosexuality, but you're right. Jesus...
I agree with you. I don't think it should be diminished. My point is that we're stepping away from the things that that God in the flesh, our holy Lord and Savior Jesus, told us about 40 times, but he talks about nothing else more but the Father he talks about more. He talks about this the second most, but because we wear our faith as a cloak and we try to find things that are convenient for us, rather than putting our faith in God and living up to our obligations. I mean, my wife left me for her boss. And it's been totally destructive for my daughter. And I'm sorry that I can't hide my contempt for that. It's not anger because I've forgiven, but I have a healthy amount of contempt for it. And members from my church want to celebrate their wedding, a wedding that was founded on adultery. I see this a lot.
I hear you, Art. And, you know, I've been a Christian for 40 years. And in the mid-1970s, when I remember a conversation I was having with a couple in about 1975, and they told me that this Christian couple that we knew was getting divorced, and it was a scandal at that time, because even though the percentage of divorces in the secular world was pretty much 50%, it was almost unheard of among Christians, and it just didn't compute. How could somebody who's read what Jesus had to say about marriage, and they continue to profess to be Christians, go ahead and get divorced and then continue professing to be Christians? You know, how can anybody do that? Now, you know, and I've witnessed over this time what you're talking about, that there's just been a deterioration. People have gotten used to it being a phenomenon that's become acceptable, and yet it's not acceptable. And so the only thing we can do about this is to begin to start lifting up biblical standards. That doesn't mean there's not grace and forgiveness for people who've gone through a divorce, they're now remarried. You know, you can't go back and undo that. But let's recognize that there was sin, confess it, receive forgiveness, and let's now press forward to not be a microcosm of the culture, but to be something that reflects the counterculture, which is the teachings that Jesus brought about how we should live.
Absolutely. I cannot thank you enough for letting me make my comments. And I hope that in some small way this plants that seed to start changing this mindset. Because our children, you know, adults, we can cope. The children cannot cope. And our children are the ones that are suffering the most.
Thank you for your passion, and thank you for calling up today. Our prayers are with you.
Thank you very much. And my prayers are with you. God bless you, and Merry, Merry Christmas.
You too.
Thank you. You as well. I want to go next to Dwayne, listening on Sirius Radio 161 in Orlando, Florida. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I have a question concerning the first chapter of the book of Romans. Verse 28, when it states how they didn't like to retain God in their mind, so God turned them over to a reprobate mind. My question is, what is a reprobate mind, and can a Christian be turned over to a reprobate mind?
Well, you know, the NIV actually translates that as a depraved mind. But the answer in simple terms to the question is, no, a Christian cannot be given over to a base, a depraved or a reprobate mind if they are genuinely a Christian. Because remember that when you become a believer, you're not only justified by Jesus Christ, but you're also sanctified by Jesus Christ. So the one who begins the work in you will bring that work to completion.
Yes, and clearly in context, you know, it's not talking about Christians, is it? It's talking about people who are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, who don't wish to be reminded of God anymore. And God is simply granting them their wishes. He is, after they have persisted in this path and resisted the conviction of the Holy Spirit, He's allowing them to have the darkness that they have desired, where they can forget about God and simply pursue the inclinations of their evil natures. So this is what this is giving somebody over to their sin nature, no longer pursuing them with conviction. And that is not something by definition that would be the case with a Christian.
Okay, but anyway, this particular individual stated to me that, you know, he at one time accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, but then as time went on, he became engaged in homosexual behavior. And he prayed and asked the Lord whether or not he's saved or not. He said he recited the sinner's prayer, and now he's confused about whether he's saved, and the fact that it just seems like, you know, he can't shake this particular sin in his life, although he sincerely, you know, repented, or at least said he repented and accepted Jesus.
You're not describing somebody that has a reprobate or a depraved mind. You're describing someone in whom is raging spiritual warfare with Satan and God, both reaching out to him, and he's got to make a choice to put the will and the word of God above his own feelings, desires, urges, relationships, loneliness, whatever it is that would be driving him into that behavior. Because only when he's really right with God and he's living according to the Word of God can he have peace and can he be fulfilled. And God will work in his life to make him whole, whether that would be in a sexual relationship with a woman or whether that would be celibate, that's to find out. But in either case, he will have peace, and his life will have meaning, and he will have comfort in the Holy Spirit because he's right with God. So this is what he's got to choose at this point. He needs encouragement. He needs counseling. He needs to get into the Scripture.
I was just thinking there's a really good book that I think we should put into his hands as well. It's called Desires in Conflict, Hope for Men Who Struggle with Sexual Identity. It's written by Joe Dallas, and I don't know of anyone on the planet that has a better fix on this issue, this besetting sin, than Joe Dallas. He writes with compassion, but he writes from a thoroughly biblical perspective. So that's the book that I would put into his hands.
Okay. So, well, I really appreciate your ministry. In fact, I'm a first-time listener myself, and I do thank God for your ministry, and I want to definitely support you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Dwayne. God bless you. And do remember, for your gift we will send you, when you join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, we will send you the next 6 issues of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you, as well as our way of equipping you. So when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team with your gift, your initial gift today, and then you'll be giving every month, we'll send you 6 issues of the Christian Research Journal. Again, a way for us to say thank you for standing with a ministry, making a difference for time and for eternity. And I want to let you know that this is not an easy ministry to be in, because we're not politically correct. We don't say what we say to be popular. And so often when I give an answer, I realize it's not a politically correct answer. And yet I give the answer because we do what we do because truth matters. As a result of standing for the truth, no matter what the cost, it's sometimes difficult financially for our ministry. And in all my years of ministry, I can't remember anything like the miracle taking place at the Christian Research Institute today, a miracle which was necessary because of our stand for truth, but a miracle in which you also are playing such an important role. At this time last year, I was incredibly burdened. Our ministry was a staggering $2.9 million in operational debt. And as a result, we had to pull back broadcasting from stations reaching hundreds of thousands of people because we simply could not afford the airtime. And many more hard choices loomed on the horizon. And we were on our knees pleading for God's direction. And God said, "Trust me." And we have seen in the ensuing year the faithfulness of God, because now at the end of the year, we have a hurdle to circumnavigate, but it's only $475,000. So we're getting close to the finish line, and we want you to be a part of making a difference this year.
The mission of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is clear: to defend the reliability of Scripture, give reasons for faith, and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. In a world that is increasingly hostile to the gospel, we will not compromise for the sake of political correctness or popularity, but we are determined to stand for truth no matter what the cost. If this uncompromising devotion to truth resonates with you, won't you please join us? We depend on faithful monthly supporters to continue this crucial charge God has entrusted us with. To join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, just call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what he promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.